Canoe is dropping right in the square. My canoe's, and I thought, oh, can't be full yet.
Yeah.
But Rick says it's just dry.
It's just so dry.
Water's a lot, but it's just.
Yeah.
Huge tree, it takes a lot of water, so I'm not paying.
Yeah. It's a tree.
There's water down.
There's water down there.
Start digging your roots, come on.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm off on my vacation on Wednesday.
Yay.
Where you mean?
Oh, I don't remember that, but you said you and your sister are going, right?
We go to Maine.
What are your?
No, we just go where.
First time.
No.
So where are you going?
Well, when we first started traveling here, we meet at an airport, we get a rental car, we used to make these really big circles and we go all official cars and we'd be driving 700 miles, you know, sometimes, and it's like, as we do, we much rather, well, not it doesn't. But, you know, it's, now we fly to the airport, get a rental car, and now we park ourselves at a hotel. And then we kind of do like, oh, here's things we can do to the north of that hotel, here's things to the west and east, and so we're going to Bar Harbor, we're staying in Acadia, and we've been to Acadia once, but it was one of my big trips, and so we went from Massachusetts to Connecticut, or, you know, all the little ones, and we stopped off and did things, so when we got to Maine, we just did one day there, we didn't feel like we did it justice, and now we are doing places more justice. So, last year we went up to Death Valley to California in November and we did that area really well. And we've done North Carolina really well. And now we're doing Maine really well.
What's the weather like in Death Valley in November?
In November it's pleasant. It's like 82, 85, maybe.
So,
but yeah, that's when you go.
Well, right.
November through April is their high season in Death Valley.
Yeah.
And it's just cool, the topography is cool, and they've got all these drives and they've got we did jeep rides and the bad ride of the mountains, and they take you on these tiny little paths, and you're like, oh my god, that jeep's not going to make it up that hill, but they do, and it's scary, and you scream, and it's wonderful, and lots of rides. So, but Carol, you know, she was the national security council, and she has so much money, and she sees so much death and destruction in her job. You know, they show the pictures of the wars. So when she's on vacation, she's like totally checked out, and we usually don't miss opportunity to use her anything. But I have noticed the last couple of years since she got an iPhone, she's starting to check that a little bit more. I'm like, you stop. We're on vacation.
Yeah.
So the world needs to sit down for her. She sees kind of the first problem.
Well, and it sounds like the vacations you choose are really kind of, you know, it's nature. It's the opposite of that sort of thing,
absolutely.
You know. So you're not going.
No,
I don't know what you would be doing.
No. But we're going on a whale watching tour one day out to the ocean, which we've done before. And then we're going to go on another tour where we go look for puffins. And then we're doing a harbor tour where they do the lighthouses.
Oh, so that's fun.
And it's at sunset, so that should
be fun.
I'm trying to make kids and children. So we're not anti-children.
No,
it's just that we want our.
Well, and you're librarian, so in a way, that's your job. I mean, a lot of your job is with
kids. Yes, I need to be away from them.
Yeah, yeah.
But then we're going to go interior then, and then we're going to Waterville. But that's just kind of our motive where we're going to stay. And she found a play, a local play, and it's supposed to be a comedy about King Kong. Who knows? We have seen some of the weirdest. We've seen a Hee Haw review. We've seen all kinds of funny things. And even if we think it's not, we will be careful. We just have to make a big difference.
Thank you. Very warm good morning to everybody. It's great to be back. It's good to be able to share with you. As you know, we're on vacation for a while, and then during vacation, we all of us started to wonder. We thought we had allergies. We really didn't know what we had. We're talking about how our eyes were itchy, and so it's just very strange. But we're fine and came through fine. Didn't get any of the severe respiratory stuff, and are sure that we are not communicable in any way. So I want to share that with you so you don't worry. And but nonetheless, just to ease anybody's discomfort, I will go ahead and wear a mask during communion this Sunday. But it is good to see everybody again, and it's good to be back. God's richest blessings to you. And Jill's doing fine too. Family's doing well. I want to mention a couple of announcements. One, we have fellowship between services. We're doing fellowship with no fellowship hall, and we like to do that once a month. And again, for this month, we want to focus on the Wiley Backpack Program. Kathy Bull is the head coordinator for that, and she does a wonderful job communicating with all the people who are involved in it. She wrote a beautiful announcement in our bulletins. Please take this. And you don't have to decide now, but just think about it during the week. It is Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So just give it some prayerful thought, but not out of compulsion. Never like that, Paul says. So out of a willing heart. Well, that's it. Again, just a reminder about the fellowship between services. Enjoy that. Looking forward to sharing with everyone. I invite you to rise, please. Greetings to you that are joining us online. God's richest blessings to you as we begin with our first hymn. Begin our worship in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God,
we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world and for the well-being of the Church of God and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O Lord, grant us wisdom to recognize the treasures that you have stored up for us in heaven, that we may never despair, but always rejoice and be thankful for the riches of your grace through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated while Dave shares our scripture readings.
Our first reading from the Old Testament is a classic. So praise with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. But the death, therefore, was earth. Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and adulterous, which is idolatry. On the account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these, you too once walked, you were living in them, but now you must put them away. Put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk with your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices, and you have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the naming of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise and read the gospel.
Don't say.
I'm
thank you.
Please rise. So we listen to the gospel reading, be the sermon text for today as well. Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 12th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, you made me a judge or arbitrator over you." And he said to them, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." He told them a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man produced plentifully, and he thought to himself, 'What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops.' And he said, 'I will do this. Tear down my barns and build bigger ones. There I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul is required of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So is one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Let's confess, I believe in God the Father Almighty. Please be seated while we sing. Thank you. Good morning to everybody. It is good to be able to share with you. I'm glad for that. We are back and doing well, had a good vacation, and it's good. It's good to be able to be here and share with you. God's blessings to you. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I ask by the grace of Jesus Christ that the words of my mouth, the meditations of all our hearts would be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our Redeemer, in Jesus' name, amen. So, going to look at the gospel text. I invite you, please, there's a couple blanks I would like to fill out with you together. That's in our outline that you have in your bulletin there, so please grab that. Thank you. And someone approached Jesus, had a question. He said, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. Now, Jesus is confronted with a choice, just as we pastors are often confronted with choices from time to time. So is Jesus going to get down to the nitty-gritty of the inheritance dispute or not? You know, in my ministry, which this doesn't seem possible, it's been 38 years, I have found Jesus' approach here very, very instructive. So he says to the guy, he says, man, who made me a judge or arbitrator over you? And it probably came out like that. Man's not all that politeful in that sense. Anyway, Jesus is telling him, my calling is different than what you are asking of me. I do have something relevant to say to you, but I am not going to be drawn into the details of this dispute. And then he gives a warning about how hazardous this inheritance is. He says in verse 13, he says, take care and be on your guard against all covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. Now, what I believe Jesus sees is this man losing his grip on his portion of the inheritance. And he also sees some evidence that the hazard of the inheritance is deceiving this man. That's why Jesus uses terms. In Matthew 13, he uses a term, deceitfulness of riches. See, the inheritance is lying to him, not telling him the truth. That's why money is so hazardous, by the way. It lies to us. It tries to deceive us. So what is it saying? What is this money telling him? It's saying, if you lose me, you lose a very huge part of your life. If you lose me, you lose what life can be for you. Your life will be drab, boring, empty, meaningless, unhappy without me. Do you realize how big I am? Life will be real, truly life, if you have me. I am your life. That's what I think the inheritance is telling him. And Jesus says in verse 15 there, he says, one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. In other words, don't listen to it. It's a lie. Be on your guard. Take care. In our reading from Colossians that Dave read, it says that it awakens covetousness in us. And covetousness, according to Colossians 3:5, is idolatry. So this is really hazardous, not only for his earthly existence, but for his eternal soul. It wants to destroy him. So what is life? Really? What is it? Jesus' view, as I mentioned in verse 15, is your life doesn't consist in having a lot of things. And to drive home the point, he tells this parable. But did you notice in the text, yeah, the text there, notice he changes the pronoun. He's not speaking to the man anymore, is he? He's speaking to everybody. He changes it from you to them. Not just the man asking the question. He said he told them a parable, so it's not just the man listening. We're all listening. The land of a rich man produced plentifully. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have nowhere to store my crops, so I'll do this. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store my grain. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods. For laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry. God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and not rich towards God. You know, it's not a bad thing for land to prosper, for it to produce plentifully. It says in the verse 16. It's not a bad thing when your business prospers. That's a good thing. It is not a bad thing to get a promotion along with a pay increase. It is not a bad thing at all when your investments, especially if you're retired, go up in value. That's not the evil of this parable. He's not called a fool for being a productive farmer. God knows this world needs productive farmers and it needs profitable businesses. Why is he called a fool? That's the point of the parable. And not only a fool, but he's a fool that loses his soul. So he's literally and tragically a damned fool. Here's the way I would think about it. The way he uses increase revealed where his heart is. Or rather, to stick with the terminology of the reading, where his soul is at. Away from God. Doesn't even enter his mind. Not wanting to have anything to do with God. He keeps building bigger barns. And you know, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with building bigger barns. But he's given no thought to what comes after this life. What does he say? He says in verse 19, I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry. See, he treasures relaxing, eating, drinking, and fun. That's my life. And the riches in my barns make it possible. So what in the world is wrong with that? Well, you know, nothing really. Nothing really if there's not a God. Nothing really if there's not a resurrection. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:32, if the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. But there is a God. There is a resurrection. So what's wrong with this man's way of handling his riches is he fails to use them in a way that shows that he treasures God more than the riches. Rich towards God. That's the key in this parable. What does that mean? It's an unusual phrase. It doesn't have anything to do with prospering. It doesn't have anything to do with prospering materially, being rich towards God. And isn't that good? That make you happy. That makes me happy. It really does. I just am stoked to know that God does not judge by the outward appearance, by how much money you have, by how successful you are, by how great your business was, how great your teaching was, or anything. That's not it. That wouldn't be fair. And in our outlines, I put a beautiful verse from the Apostle Peter. Let's let him speak. Because he says God plays no favorites. God has no favorites in this world at all. I love that. I love that when I look at people. It's beautiful. Let me share you this verse from Psalms. If you're taking notes, this is a beautiful one to look up. Psalm 49, verse 7. This is from God's Word translation. No one can ever buy back another person or pay God a ransom for his life. The price to be paid for his soul is too costly. The greatest commodity in the universe that is able to buy a soul is the blood of Jesus Christ. not your stuff, not your success. That cannot wash away your sins. And I am so glad for this. Rich or poor, it's about knowing Christ. The number one way to be rich towards God is to understand how rich God is towards you. The number one way to be rich to God is to consider, contemplate, glory in, rejoicing, dancing, just be ecstatic how rich God is to you. Oh, it's beautiful. The best example of that is not your own works, but the work of Christ, work that Christ did on the cross. Let me read this section from 1 Peter that I had in your outlines. So you must live in reverent fear of him during your time here as temporary residents. Isn't that great? You got a better place to go. For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life that you inherited from your ancestors. And it was not paid with mere gold or silver, which lose their value. It was the precious blood of Jesus Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. One of the reasons why we cherish and we covet stuff is because we're afraid. We've lived long enough to know that life is hard. And we're worried that we're not going to have enough. We're not going to survive. But you know, the more trust Jesus Christ, the more that you learn to trust him, and that's a learning thing in this life, the more it changes your heart. As the apostles themselves said, they come to know Jesus Christ. So I would encourage you, you just keep trusting Jesus Christ. That is your hope. That is your inheritance. That is where you're going. And we just, in this lifetime, and you have this lifetime to do it. That's what Jesus is telling us. Your inheritance is not in this world. It's in the next. And you know, at the same time, you seek God. So that, and we sang that, the choir sang that beautifully, you know, it's your heart's desire. How is it your heart's desire? In your words, your actions, your thoughts, yes, even your money. They speak for Christ and not against what he stands for. Because Jesus Christ has told us that our bodies, these bodies, not our soul, have an expiration date. And you know, you only get one chance in life to live as you were meant to. May God bless you and keep you in the love of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. I invite you to rise, please. Now, on the back of your bulletins, you will see a prayer list that we print. I would ask you, please take this home with you, place it on your refrigerator or somewhere where you will see it, and you can lift up these prayer needs that we have that people are asking us to pray for. I listed Layla Dittman. I have been in contact with Layla and talked with her daughter, Debbie, this week. Layla was not doing well for many months. And just this last week, she was admitted into Carl and wasn't doing very well at all. She did pass away yesterday evening. And Debbie is daughter-in-law, and Chris Dittman, they live in St. Joe. We are preparing a service this Wednesday. We're going to do a quiet graveside service for Layla. You, dear folks, at this service might not have met Layla, but she was just a regular, right where the Ronies are, that just every Saturday she would be there. So we'll miss her dearly, but God took her from her suffering and her pain. And so we want to lift up the Dittman family in our prayers. Skip Barnes, you do not know. Sam Fayad might ring a bell for some of you. Sam is a newer member. He's a graduate student over at U of I. And Sam's grandfather, Skip Barnes, in Missouri, is in the final stages of his cancer. And he's been placed on hospice as of yesterday in Missouri. And he's a Christian. Skip's pastor is comforting him and ministering to him, which is great. But Sam asked us to please lift up the family at this time. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, the riches of Christ. Oh Lord, for you are rich, but you made yourself poor that we might become rich in you. We thank you. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, move our hearts to celebrate the riches of your grace, to fellowship together on Sundays, to fellowship together, Lord, in our small groups, to come and partake of Holy Communion together. Lord, these wonderful gifts reveal and bring to us the manifold grace of God. And Lord, strengthen us in the amazing and incredible love that you have for us. Lord, bless us in our journey to you. Keep us strong in our faith and trust that we might not waver, be easily moved. Lord, in your mercy. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you would be with the construction. We pray that it would continue to go smoothly, that you would help it, Lord. Keep safe the workers. Lord God, we pray for the LWML, their collection of the school kits. We ask that you would move us, Lord, to collaborate with them. Thank you for their quilts. Thank you, Lord, for people that have been invited and come to quilt with them, Lord. We thank you for these opportunities. And with that in mind, we think of our small groups, Lord, as places where we can grow in love towards one another and grow closer to you. Bless us in that way, we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, bless our fellowship that we will have today. Thank you for the opportunities that we can do this. And even outside of this country, Lord, we ask that you would bless our work in Haiti and bless the Stouts' work to plant a church. Lord, as preschool gets ready to start, Lord, thank you for the parents, for the families that are coming. Watch over the school and the students, Karen and Julie. Lord, bless the word sown and the ministry given to these children, we pray. Thank you for the opportunities that we have to serve you. Lord, in your mercy. And dear Heavenly Father, we know that this world is a very difficult and dangerous place. Many of our brothers and sisters suffer horribly, whether it's in Ukraine or places that we scarcely know about and have not visited, but you have. And you stand beside those that are suffering and called to suffer for your name. Oh Lord, strengthen them. Let them know that you are with them and that your Holy Spirit strengthens them and that we pray for them. Lord God, for us, we ask your blessings. We pray that you might send rain. Lord, that our farmers who wait on you and wait in faith, Lord, that when rain comes and their harvest comes, they would have the good wisdom to thank you and to praise you, Lord, for you are Lord of all and giver of all things. Lord, bless our government, we pray. Give them wisdom with the authority you've given them for a season, and help us, Lord, as citizens of this nation to, Lord, live as good citizens of your kingdom, full of love and mercy and dignity and respect for all. Lord, in your mercy.
Your own prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, be with those that need the special touch of your care. Lord, we know that your hand watched over the passing of Layla Dittman. We know, Lord, that all things are in your timing and your goodness and grace, and thank you for receiving her into your love in Christ. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask now that you be with Chris and you be with Debbie. We pray, Lord, that that wonderful peace that you're able to comfort us with, for your tomb is empty, Lord, would rest securely in our hearts and minds. We thank you for the goodness of your grace. Lord, be with Skip. Lord, as he prepares in his heart and his mind to meet you, Lord, speak the wonders of Christ to him. Lord, just that he would fear not, and he would rest in the goodness of your grace, Lord, as solid as the scars on your hands and feet inside. We thank you for that. Bless the family, Lord, we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we have friends, we have family, we see individuals on our prayer lists that are near and dear to us, and indeed all of them we lift up. Lord, we have neighbors, workmates. Lord, we have acquaintances that need your encouragement and help, that don't know you as the Lord of love. Lord, we lift them up to you by name. We thank you for hearing our prayers. We thank you for responding. And so, Lord, into your hands we commit everything for which we pray, trusting in your mercy through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our service will continue now as we celebrate Holy Communion. Dear friends in Christ, the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is right to give
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who out of love for his fallen creation humbled himself by taking on the form of a servant, becoming obedient unto death, even death upon a cross, risen from the dead. He has freed us from eternal death and has given us life everlasting. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify his glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. Lord, with repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive and renew and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us to do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom that has no end. graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us, for to you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, he took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and he gave it to his disciples. And he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. The same way also he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. My dear friends in Christ, the peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Here taking the precious body of Christ, given for you. Holy blood of Christ, shed for the forgiveness of all of your sins. May the strength that preserve you in true faith, now and into life everlasting, the heart's peace and joy. Gather on the table of the Lord. Our usher, Fred Holhubner, will direct you out. God's blessings. Welcome. Shed for the forgiveness of our sins. What a Christ. Mabel, holy blood of Christ, shed for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Christ, blood of Christ, shed for the forgiveness of our sins. The bond. Excellent. The holy blood of Christ, shed for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Hillary and Harry, bless you. Drink the precious blood of Christ, shed for the forgiveness of your sins. David, Teresa, holy blood of Christ, shed for the forgiveness of your sins. David, precious blood of Christ, shed for the forgiveness of your sins. Kevin, blood of Christ, shed for the forgiveness of your sins. Robert, blood of Christ, shed for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Take it, Jordan. Harry, the blood of Christ, shed for the forgiveness of your sins. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, may this, the true body and blood of our precious Savior, strengthen and preserve us in true faith, now and unto life everlasting. Let us depart in his rich peace and his joy. Amen. blood of Christ shed for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Ginger, Dan, take a drink. True blood of Christ shed for the forgiveness of all your sins. Liz, I bless you. Take a drink. The holy blood of Christ shed for the forgiveness of all your sins. Caroline, bless you. Take a drink. Fred, the precious blood of Christ shed for the forgiveness of all your sins. My dear friends in Christ, may this, the true body and blood of our precious Savior, strengthen and preserve us in true faith, now and into life everlasting. Let us depart in his rich peace and his joy. Amen. I invite you to rise, please. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
And the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Amen. Let's remain standing while we sing our closing hymn. Says, have a blessed week. It's a joy to worship with you again. And don't forget, enjoy the fellowship that we have and some nice refreshments after the service. Go in peace. Serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.